Last week, I taught the 8:30 message dealing with private worship, and I realized about halfway through this week that the Lord had more to say about this. I'm endeavoring myself to break into this private worship. And I want to begin this morning by first of all clarifying that this is not my first time for doing this, for trying to break into private worship. A few years ago, I put forth the same effort to break in to private worship with separating myself for hours a day to get into His presence. And I saw some breakthrough in the beginning stages of it. But like a lot of people, things happen. My schedule changed. I ended up having to go back into the workforce. And as a result of that, has anybody ever felt like you just failed God? I mean, just be honest. Have you ever felt like, I've seen this progression, and I know you want me to break into this further. I know it. But Lord, do you see the circumstances that I'm faced with right now? I don't have every day to spend with you. And I want to tell you, when I had that time, it was sweet. But when that time's gone, and you're faced with the reality of work, you're faced with the reality of being on somebody else's schedule, what are you going to do? Well, I know for myself what happened. Slowly but surely, I let it slip out of my fingers. I let it slip away from me. I heard Pastor Dave say this on a teaching tape here recently. Falling out of prayer, falling out of private worship. He talked about that numerous times. And when he said that in previous times, I always felt like he's talking about me again. Here he is talking about me again. I've fallen out. I've fallen out of prayer. I've fallen out of worship. But this time on this tape, he clarified it. And he said, I'm not talking about falling out for a day or a week or a month. I'm talking about you quit and you left and you have nothing good to say about it. That's what I'm talking about. Folks, I know I'm probably not the only person that's gotten beat out of worship or beaten out of prayer. But you know what? The change that was worked inside of you for the hours that you spent worshiping, it's still there. Isn't that right? It didn't go anywhere. And I know this time, as I have endeavored to go breaking through into private worship, I sense that I'm not at the beginning blocks again. And I am so encouraged by that. I can feel inside as I start to worship, it's like all of a sudden my spirit man is like grasping for air. Oh, I can feel it. I can feel the inside of me, it's like a man that's walked across the desert that's parched with thirst, and all of a sudden a little drop of water touches his mouth. That's how my spirit man feels about worship. So as I begin teaching today, I want you to be encouraged that if the enemy has squeezed you out of private worship, as he so cleverly does with anything, any aspect of this message, whether it's private worship, praying in tongues, extended periods of time, fasting, meditating the word, whatever it is, if he squeezed you out, it doesn't mean that it's over for you. And whatever change has been worked inside of you up to this point, it's still there. It didn't evaporate. And when you start back into it, you're going to pick up where you left off. You know, this isn't in my notes at all, but I just see this in my spirit. In my Bible, if you look at the last page of any one of the chapters or any one of the books in the New Testament, you're going to see hash marks. Okay? You're going to see hash marks for how many times I've assimilated those books. My problem is, I go here and assimilate, and then I go over here and assimilate. But I want you to know something that's still working inside of me. It's still working. We beat ourselves up about some of the craziest stuff, you know what? And we think that, at least I do, Mamie. And I tend to be the perfectionist type person, which that's not good sometimes. I feel like if I just can't do it perfectly right the first time, forget about it. And that's not the way God is. God's taking every little bit that you give him, and he is maximizing that. He's doing everything he can with any little bit that you give him. So don't be so hard on yourself. So this is my second week in pressing into private worship. And just because I'm very transparent with this, my first week, my endeavors were a couple hours a day. And I came in here last Sunday morning at 8:30 and I taught. And then at the 10 o'clock service, Pastor Dave said, you taught exactly, scripture for scripture, everything that I was going to say. Folks, when that happens, you know that's God. Even I can figure that out. Apparently, this is what God is wanting to say right now to us. Apparently, at this point in time, he's saying to us, it's time, whether you've stopped, whether you never started, whether you've laid it aside, or maybe you've always been in it. If you have, praise God for you. But this time right now, this is time. This is time for private worship to be worked in your life. I truly believe, and I've got some things that people have sent me that have confirmed what's in my spirit about how important private worship is right now with receiving the revival. I think it's crucial. I think it's crucial in receiving this revival. One reason that I feel like it's so important is, how in the world are we going to be willing to endure for somebody else? This revival is not for us. This revival is for them. It's for the people that aren't here listening. How are we going to be willing to endure night after night, week after week, if we don't have that love developed on the inside of us? How are we ever going to do it? Well, the truth is, if we don't get it developed, we won't endure. That's just the fact about it. Because if that love isn't there for the other people, if you aren't willing to lay down your life for somebody else, you're going to be short-lived in the revival. And I don't believe that's what God wants. So in my efforts for breaking into private worship, I said the first week I had gotten in a couple hours a day. Once last Sunday happened, and if you'll remember, Pastor Dave was standing right there by me, and he said that message was a crossing over message. So I realized I need to increase my time. Now, I want you to understand, I'm a working person right now. I'm not someone that has 24/7 that I can spend time with Jesus. I work 40 hours a week, like most everybody here. So whenever I have to separate this time to spend with Him, it's time that I'm taking away from something else. My schedule, I go to work at 4 in the afternoon, and I work till midnight. I do that Thursday through Monday. So last night, I got off work at midnight, I got to bed at 1 o'clock, and I got up at 6. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be a little pain. There's going to be a little discomfort. I know the other day, I'd gotten to bed at 1, and I was awake at 5. And He wanted me. So you get up, and you spend your time with Jesus, because that's what He wants. That same day, He began to, during the time I spent with Him, was somewhere around the third hour, all of a sudden, and it was just such a shock to me, all of a sudden, I was just worshiping the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you. I felt nothing, and boom, there He was. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And suddenly, He's there. It was wonderful. It was sweet. It didn't last forever. It lasted a few minutes, but you know, just that little bit is just enough to make you want to stay in there for more and want you to stay in there for more. And in the process of Him showing up that morning, He just opened up this revelation to me. It's like, you know, whenever God shows you something, it's like, of course. Of course that's right. Of course. It just makes so much sense to you. I really hope that in the process of teaching these messages, my hope is that you'll be so enticed. That you'll be so enticed that you will want to lay aside those things that you think are really important right now. And in some cases, I know there are things that are important that you still need to lay aside. And I don't know. You have to ask God how to show you how to do that. You know, in that same vein, for me, it was a blessing to get a second shift job because I had fallen into that trap of listening to the television set in the evenings. I'm not home now. And in the daytime, I don't sit in the daytime and watch TV. So it really solved some problems for me right there. But it's making that time, setting that time aside, and just do it. Private worship is not going to be something that at the beginning stages you're going to just love. I wish I could say it was, but it's just not. You're sitting there, and for me, I've had to take a black shirt, and because it's in the daytime, put it around my eyes so I don't see anything. I sit down in my chair, and I just start. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. I exalt you. And I found that the first hour is usually pretty easy. It's just after that. It's when you get into the extended periods. But you just have to know how much He loves it. It's when you don't feel anything that you are making the biggest difference for yourself. It's when you don't feel it. It's when there doesn't feel like anything's happening except words are just coming out your mouth. That's when the biggest change is happening. You just keep doing it. This morning we're going to talk about the power twins of worship. Well, I only know of power twins of prayer and fasting. Well, there's power twins of worship. So open your Bibles to John chapter 4. When I told you that all of a sudden the Lord just opened up this vision, this revelation the other day, He showed this to me like little children's building blocks. I saw one block on the other, on the other, on the other. And these building blocks were the first few chapters, the first few chapters of the book of John. They build one upon the other. Chapter 1 builds on chapter 2, builds on chapter 3, builds on chapter 4. Each one of them adding another element of this picture that you can't see if you only pull out John chapter 1 and you don't look at the rest of it. You can't see the picture. But whenever you read them and you have them inside of you and the Holy Ghost says, look at this, and you see, it's like, of course. So in John chapter 4, Jesus has an encounter with a woman of Samaria. Let's start off in verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Just so for some background, the Jews would not mix with the Samaritans, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, and that statement right there, living water, I want you to make a mental note of that. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Let's stop there for a minute. The well of water. Now we know the Holy Ghost is characterized as a river. But here we're finding out a well of water. That well of water is the new nature inside of you, the born again new nature. This living water that's going to bubble up from on the inside of you. He talks about this living water. If you look at the first three chapters and you see the times that he talks about water leading up to this, It's like, to me, whenever he showed me this picture, and I said, of course, it only makes sense. If you don't, if you just look at it in individual chapters, you can't see this. Look at chapter 3. He talks to Nicodemus, and he said unto him, in verse 4 of chapter 3, how can a man be born when... let me start in verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So here he's talking about water, and he's using it in the relationship of the first birth. Then he talks about being born of the Spirit, the second birth. If you've listened to the Born Again Trail, you've gone down this trail. You've seen the life that was in Jesus, and we'll get to that in John chapter 1. The life that he was born with. When I receive Jesus, I receive that life. I am born again. I have the first birth of water and the second birth of the Spirit. Go back one more chapter to chapter 2 of John. We see water again. In this instance, we see the water that was turned into what? Wine at the marriage of Cana. What did that water, what was that water initially meant for? It was a cleansing ritual. It was a ritual the Jews had for cleansing. Jesus said, take those pots of water, fill them all the way up. They went and they dipped the water out. And behold, that water was wine. What did that water symbolize? Well, the first was the cleansing part. But the second part, where the water becomes wine, the wine is a symbol of blood. The blood of the new covenant. Now follow me. Not only are you cleansed with this new birth, not only are you cleansed, but you are made new again and you are born again. And you enter into this covenant that causes you to be born again. It's symbolic of more than just the cleansing. It's symbolic of that new birth through the covenant that was cut in the blood of Jesus, in the body of Jesus. And what were they doing there? It was a marriage also. The first miracle was at a marriage. When you are born again, like Gary says, hairy legs and all, gentlemen, we are the bride. And this is really important. As the bride, which part of a marriage relationship, who gives the birth? It's the woman. Do you remember a couple weeks ago, I taught a message about being pregnant with revival? We're going to give birth to this revival as the bride, because we're going to have this conceived inside of us. And I want to show you how private worship is going to be part of this conception and part of this birthing process. Private worship is what's going to bring this baby, if you will, into being. I see some questioning looks on your face, but believe me, we'll answer some of those questions for you. So the point here is about the water. And you go to chapter 1. Chapter 1, we're looking at John the Baptist in verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Here we have water again. Water. The symbol in this case talks about the baptism of Jesus, the cleansing, the water that cleanses. Also in the baptism is symbolic of the water of birth itself. Everybody knows whenever a woman has a child inside of her, just as she's before she gives birth, the water breaks. That's the other symbol of the baptism. You're being lowered. You're being cleansed from your sins as you come up. And you're being birthed into a new species of being. All the way through John, he's talking about this for a reason. He's wanting the people to see. Chapter 1, the cleansing. Chapter 2, the water that becomes wine. Chapter 3, with Nicodemus, you must be born again. In the favorite chapter, verse 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One thing that just came to me, back to the water becoming wine. When wine goes in a fermentation process, the enzyme in the fermentation process is alive. That water became alive. It became alive. So go back to John 4. Let's see this all now as the building blocks are put together. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. The water that became wine. The living water that would bubble up from inside your new nature, your born-again spirit. That new living water would come forth. Is there any question that he's talking about being born again? No question at all. Clear picture. Let's go down to verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. She had asked the question about worship. She had asked about whether we worship in one location or the other. And he's saying, the time is coming when it's not going to matter whether you're at Jerusalem or where you're at worshiping the Father. Verse 22, You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, the hour. Do y'all remember what Pastor Dave taught about the hour? He broke it down on the millennial time clock. A day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So if you break that down, one hour is 41 plus years, 41 point something years. which is one generation. Jesus is saying, the generation, this is the generation. I'm standing here on this earth right now. This is the time. The hour has come, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. When Pastor Day was introducing private worship, and hold on to your seats, he was introducing this over 10 years ago. This wasn't the last few years. Over 10 years since he introduced private worship. And the first few messages when he's talking about it, and he's looking at this, at these verses, the Father seeketh such to worship. He wasn't looking around for a good praise team. Jesus wasn't looking for who could sing the best, who could worship, who could dance the best. He wasn't looking for any of that. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. But not in the manner that most churches today worship, where we get together and we sing a few songs and we raise our hands. That's not what He's talking about. All of the thousands of years, the 4,000 years up until Jesus had His feet on the ground, the Father was looking and waiting for someone with a nature that could worship Him. And there was none. All of the thousands of people, millions of people, generations, they would live and they would die. The closest that they would ever get is the animal sacrifices in the temple, where only one person who had gone through all of the cleansing could even approach coming into that place. But still, it fell short, because man did not have a nature that could communicate with God. So all of those people, all of those years would go by, all of those people would live and die, and not one person. Turn to John 1. This again is the born again trail portion of worship, the teaching on worship. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In this verse, God steps out of eternity and into His creation, and He becomes a man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So envision a world. I think probably the best example that I can give you is, see every person as a candle. Every individual on the earth at that point, see them as a candle, and every one of them was not lit. And then Jesus comes into this earth, and His light was on. In a world full of darkness, the light had finally stepped from heaven to earth. And he became one of us. I marvel at that. He became one of us. He became his own creation. And the light, the life of God filled him. Go down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And look what he's full of. He's full of grace and truth. Jump down to verse 17. For the law was given by Moses. But what? Grace and what? Truth. Truth came by Jesus. Folks, we don't know truth without Jesus. We don't know truth. What you think is truth may be fact, but fact and truth are two different things. Do you realize that if your light is not on inside of you, if you are not born again, you don't know truth. You don't know truth. Until the light switch is turned on inside of you, you can't know truth. Nobody in this world knew truth until Jesus came and brought truth into this world. Turn back to chapter 4. Now we're going to get to the heart of the message. The power twins. When the true worshipers shall worship, and I'm in verse 23, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit. You don't have to turn here. I'm just going to read this. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God, the Spirit that's born of God. When you're born again, the Spirit he's talking about here, worshiping in spirit and in truth, that's what he's saying. He's talking about the born-again experience. It couldn't be any more clear. I've shown you in chapters 1, chapters 2, chapter 3. All of this is leading up to this point when he's saying the Father has sought for generations for worship from someone whose nature can relate to him. From someone that has this new nature. The worship, he's saying, is in spirit and in truth. In spirit, it's coming out of your new nature. In spirit and in truth. I'm going to read a prophecy. This prophecy came through Pastor Dave back in 2004. He had just read this verse. Or he was in the process of teaching on this. And this came out of his mouth. It was so funny because he thought he was going to read scripture and this came out. He said, truth had something to do with all things being possible. All limits taken off of what you can believe for. Worshiping in truth, or in spirit and in truth, has to do with developing the capacity in your nature to receive and to operate in truth. So to worship him in spirit and in truth would be the ability to give that part of you that could discern and understand truth over to him, so that your worship of him would cause all things to become possible to you. Because you would go to that place where you could worship him in truth. In the truth that he represents. The truth that he is. And the truth of what he said. And the truth of what he will do. The only way you can do that, folks, is out of your new nature. So the worship that he has sought for years is the worship that you give him from your new nature. And that worship will cause truth to develop inside of you. The truth of who he is. The truth of what he will do. When I worship the Lord now, when I worship him, I'm thanking him in advance for what I know according to his word he's going to do on my behalf. I thank him for what he's done, but I thank him for what he is going to do. Because, look, I've got truth right here in my hands. I can understand this now because I have a nature to understand this. And the more I worship him, the more he takes this and develops this in me. And I become conformed to his image and his likeness. And all I got to do is worship. I worship you, Jesus. This, like I said the other day, this just opened up to me. And it was like I had prayed in tongues for hours. It was the same kind of vision I would have whenever I prayed in tongues. But I wasn't praying in tongues. I was worshiping him, and truth exploded inside of me. Let me read you this. Someone in the congregation had a dream. I'm not going to read the whole dream to you. I'm going to read an excerpt from it. I'll summarize the first part of it. In the dream, their daughter was sick, had a sore throat. The mother rebuked the fever. Nothing happened. She was frustrated. She was discussing this problem with her mother. And this is what she said. I was seeing in my mind Jesus on the cross the way Isaiah described it. I was thinking how deformed he was as he bore all diseases known to exist and how grotesque it was. I was realizing the things he bore were so much more serious than a fever. As I went down the list of diseases, I was thinking about how he bore all of them. I said out loud to my mom that it seemed so simple. Jesus simply came to us after we became born again, told us that he had to go to the Father, and would we take over for him and continue what he was doing. I could see him as if he were standing in front of me, giving me all I needed to simply take over. Yet we still weren't getting it. My mom agreed. Then I got a revelation. I just knew in my spirit, as I was questioning God about this whole time, I had been talking with my mom. I told her that the transformation was only going to come as we worship. Now, this is a dream. She looked at me and wrinkled her nose and said it was so hard to worship for long periods of time. I told her I realized that, and I knew what she meant. I had experienced the same thing in my life. Then I got another revelation, and I leaned over to her and I said, Now listen to this, and remember what I said about the marriage, about your place as the bride. Mom, there's only one way to have a baby when you're married. You have to have intimacy. There's no other way. Well, it's the same with the transformation. It will only come through intimacy. When a husband and wife, when two kids get married, become husband and wife, do you know how they have babies? It's not because they casually meet every few weeks or so. It's because they're intimate with each other. And that intimacy causes a birth to take place. We're birthing revival here, folks. And we're birthing it through private worship. When you're alone with him, you're going to birth your portion of this revival inside of you. And collectively, we're going to birth this revival. And it's going to happen through the intimacy that a bride has with her man, with her husband. It's not easy. Nothing worthwhile is easy. But this is how it's going to happen. I worship you, Jesus. I see this revival, Lord. I thank you for this revival. I thank you for it. You speak these words filled with what? Faith. I thank you for this revival. I thank you for this outpouring. I see myself receiving this outpouring. I see myself giving birth to this revival, my portion of it. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I exalt you. Can you see how this works? Let me read one more. This is a prophecy that came through the church. June 28th of last year. Now is the season of worship. And I'm not going to read all of it. Let me start here. Within this season that is emerging is the cocoon of worship. All of these things spoken of are a necessary part to the outpouring you're preparing for. Worship is a necessary ingredient to bring forth these things within you that you know as revival. Your walk in me and your walk with me. The walk of the Spirit. And worship is a necessary ingredient to the sustaining of these things. Just as my son was called away to my presence, so are you. Many have not understood the abiding in the secret place with me that sustained him. This ingredient of worship is an ingredient in your walk by which my wisdom often enters in and instruction is easily brought forth. As my worship becomes quite pronounced in this season, many questions shall be answered that have been placed in my hands. Much wisdom shall be available as you enter into this holy and sweet place with me. It will be a time of hearts being open to me in areas I have not yet been invited into. It will be a time of deeper surrender and deeper healings. It will be a treasured time when many things are released. Don't expect to walk through this time without resistance, but do expect my presence and do expect my victory, for I am with you and my word is your truth. You will be sustained in all things in this place of worship with me. I have been preparing hearts and stirring up desires, for hearts have been pursuing me. This worship will bring forth things within that are from me, and plans that have been carried within many will be brought forth as birthing in me. I want to bring things out of your new nature by the process of you opening yourself to me through worship. In this place, you're opening your heart to me and offering all that you are to me. I am able to come with my heart, my compassion, my desires, and fill you. I am able to come with wisdom of my ways and instruction, and instruct you with the understanding of who I am and who you are, so that you will emerge from this season changed into more of my image. As you offer up more of who you are in the place of worship, I am able to give you more of who I am. The result will be more of me and less of you, and you will walk in a greater strength of your new man. We're so fortunate that we have had someone to watch break into this private worship. I don't know of any place that you could go where you could see a person, and I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal, but I just thank God for Pastor Dave's walk into this. The love that he's walking in today is the result of the hours of worship that he was willing to invest. How many of you have partaken of a little bit of that fruit? I have. And I thank God for it. Well, let me put this to you. There are people that want to partake of some fruit off of our trees. But it's got to be developed first. That private worship has to be done in order for that love to be developed in you. Here's a statement. I cannot love myself in you, for you. This is God. This is what God says. I cannot love myself in you, for you. I said last week, I can't worship the Lord for you. I can't. When I worship, I'm the one that benefits from it. I'm the one that has the development taking place inside of me. And if I don't do it, it doesn't get developed. But when I do it, and I see the fruit of it, and he shows up like he did the other day, I want to tell you something. I get excited. Nobody had to do that for me. I did it myself. I did it myself. And it only hurt a little bit. But I know, I hear from a good source that the more I do it, the more he'll show up. And not only do I hear it from a good source, but I see it when I see Pastor Dave. I see the love. And I want to walk like that. I want the presence. I want to be baptized. Remember the picture that he saw, the rock that went into the pond and the ripples. The ripples that went out across the pond. And the Lord showed him, it starts in your new nature. It starts in your new nature. As you worship and you start filling up. That was the other thing from the other day. I felt like I was getting filled up on the inside. I felt myself getting filled. And that's exactly what he said the Lord told him and showed him, that you fill up in your spirit and that floods over to your soul. And then what happens? It floods over to the geographic area around you. I want to be able to walk into a place and the presence of God is so heavy on me that the people around me feel his presence. I want to see results. And if this is part of the path for the results to happen, then why in the world would I not go down this path? Why in the world would I just lay it aside and not do it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just give him some worship. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for the ability to enter into private worship. We thank you for that change, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus. We exalt you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We call ourselves worshipers. We call ourselves worshipers, Lord Jesus. We don't have to have someone take us into worship. Lord, we know how to enter into worship. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We exalt you. The rocks will not have to cry out, Lord. I will cry out. I will give you the praise that you are due. I will worship you. I will exalt you, Jesus. I will magnify your name. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for change. I thank you for the change, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are birthing this revival. Lord, we are birthing this revival. Hallelujah. Through our intimacy with you, we will get intimate with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will allow you to do inside of us whatever needs to be done, Lord, for this revival to come forth. We praise you, Lord. We exalt you. Jesus, we magnify your name. We glorify you. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are worshipers, Lord. We are worshipers. We are worshipers, Lord Jesus. We love you. We worship you, Jesus. You're worthy. Jesus, you are so worthy. Jesus, you are so worthy. We exalt you. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. 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 We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the grace to do this. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace to worship. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace to be willing to lay down our lives and to do what we need to do, Jesus. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for the grace, Lord. We worship you and praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. We magnify your name, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. That truth. That truth will collect inside of you. That truth will develop and change you. It will change you. Who wants to be changed? Change me, Jesus. Change me. Change me with truth, Lord. Change me with your truth. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. To the point that all things are possible. All things are possible. Amen. Did y'all receive something this morning? I do pray that this is impacting you. That you can look past me and my imperfections and see what God's trying to say to us. I'm trying to say the best that I see inside of me. But I want you to know, it's not me coming up with this. This is God. So do, please, look past me and see what He's saying. And do that. I'll see you back here at 10.